next step is pre-approach, which means researching the prospect and collecting relevant information before actually making the sales call. Pre-approach will involve developing an understanding about the prospect. Who is the prospect? What is their needs? What are their problems? What are their buying motives? Their preferences, their personal character, their lifestyles, choice of brands, etc. When the sales team has to meet a prospect, he will first try and find out all this information about the prospect and then plan how to approach the prospect. This stage is the pre-approach. It is effective for making a ground for approach, for planning your strategy, how to convince, how to persuade the customer to buy based on all this information, based on their needs, their wants, their desires, lifestyle, background, thoughts, values, and many other criteria. The next step is the approach, where actually the salesperson is approaching the customer or a prospect. The first few minutes of the sales call or dialogue are extremely critical because the salesperson gets only those first few minutes or seconds to make an impression on the prospect. After that, the prospect may just not show interest in that salesperson. He would probably want to go to a competitor or to another salesperson. The approach step involves developing an understanding about the prospective buyers as to their needs, problems, buying motives, and preferences. So even though we try to study all this in the pre-approach process also, in the approach, we are going a step further. And since we are in a dialogue or discussion with our prospect, we get a better, more detailed understanding of the needs, the buying motives, and preferences of our prospect. The next stage is the presentation or a demonstration of a product, where a list of the features and benefits is either made or it is discussed with the prospect. The need-satisfying characteristics of the product are to be presented or demonstrated to the probable buyer. The prospect should be made to understand the benefits of the product. He must also be informed of any special features, merits, benefits, attributes of the product. The salesman at this stage can also show various survey reports, relevant data, so as to ensure that the customer is convinced of the benefits of this product. He may also talk about any promotional offers, discounts, schemes, or free gifts that will be given with that product. The next stage is of overcoming objections. Here, countering customer objections and removing the hesitancy of the customer in buying the product is handled. Every salesperson faces objections from the customer. Don't we all do that? Oh, but I don't like the color. This is too expensive. I don't need it. These are the kind of objections we all raise as customers. The salesperson has to tackle all these objections and go a step further and ensure that the product is bought by the prospect. This is not an easy task. The buyer is going to ask questions, seek explanations, make comments, statements about the product. The salesperson has to handle all of them in a very relaxed manner without getting frustrated or agitated. The salesman must face the buyer by giving satisfactory answers sincerely and in an unhurried manner. The customer cannot be given the impression that the salesperson is trying to hurry or rush through the presentation or demonstration. The next stage is the close. This is the most important stage because this is where the actual decision to buy is taken. Successful completion of a sales call is termed as the close. It aims at taking an order for the products from the prospective buyer. The salesman also asks questions so as to ensure the product, the choice of color, the periodicity of delivery, the quantity, and various terms. At the last stage, which is the close, the prospects place orders with the salesman. Needless to say, this is the most important sale, the aspect of the sales call or the entire process of selling, because if there is no close, then the entire effort is wasted. The last stage is the follow-up. It means making sure that the customer is happy after the purchase. It means making sure that the customer is satisfied. It is a very important part, especially as it is a source of word of mouth publicity. We all know word of mouth publicity is extremely critical in telling customers, their family and friends, that this is a good product or this is a good brand and this is a good retailer to buy from. Therefore, follow-up is critical to success and to generating repeat sales and getting referrals through the current customer base. At this stage, it is important to have information from the buyers regarding the product, the use of the product, was it satisfactory, did they face any problems in the product usage, were the products performing based on the requirements of the product, were the products performing as per the expectations of the customer. After sales service should be followed up strictly in a regular manner, giving personal attention to the customer. This, as we just discussed, ensures repeat and loyal customers. The next section deals with two concepts of selling, which we term as cross-selling and upselling. So let us understand what these two mean. These two techniques of cross-selling and upselling allow a salesperson to generate extra sales revenue. The key term is extra sales revenue. By encouraging the existing customer base to purchase more or to make more frequent purchases. So if you see this little diagram, cross-selling and upselling both lead to increased profitability. Let us understand the concept of cross-selling in detail. It is a strategy that encourages existing customers to purchase additional or complementary products from your range. A cross-sell is to get the customer to spend more money. So essentially, we are increasing the transaction value by adding more products from similar categories, which means complementary products, than the product being viewed or purchased. An upsell means to get the customer to spend more money by buying a more expensive model or version of the same type of product, or to add features, warranties, etc. that relate to the product in question. Upselling includes introducing and presenting the better item, which might be the more expensive item also, in the merchandise range, and encouraging the customer to buy it by explaining its additional features and benefits. Let us understand this through some examples. Upselling. So if I would have usually ordered a medium-sized steak, upselling means making the customer order a large-sized steak. Again, if you can see over here, upselling, you would have ordered, let's say, just a burger and a fries, but here you have been able to persuade the customer to buy more products which are similar. So a cross-sell is where the product size is the same, but you're also selling something which is related or complementary. So in this case, the customer had walked into the restaurant wanting to buy a medium-sized steak. He buys a medium-sized steak, but he also ends up buying an additional onion rings with it. Similarly, here, if you see, the customer wanted to buy just a simple burger, but he ends up buying something along with it. That is the concept of upselling and cross-selling. Let us move on to the next section of the concept of selling in-house versus selling out-house. As the name suggests, in-house means inside your premises, out-house means outside the retailer or seller's premises. In-house selling or business to the consumer, which we often refer to as B2C, is done via a number of modes. It could be a retail outlet or a retail store. It could be some form of telephone inquiries or selling via the electronic media. It could be email inquiries. It could be selling via the internet or via various shows and exhibitions. Outhouse selling, on the other hand, requires the salesperson to go to the premises of the prospect or the potential customer. Outhouse selling can further be classified into two categories. Firstly, business to business, which is often referred to as B2B, and secondly, home sales, which means business transactions at home. For example, Avon, Tupperware, or Amway, these are products which are sold at home via different plans. Now let us understand who are salespeople and their role in a retail store. The retail employees who sell are referred to using different terms. They could be called a salesman, a sales representative, a salesperson, an account executive, a sales consultant, or a sales associate. If it is a sales consultant working in an apparel store, he may even be called a fashion consultant. Salespeople who work in the self-service retail store are primarily service-oriented personnel who do not actually sell items and usually do not have a commission-based program. They answer questions that customers may have, assist customers in locating items, and check out customers at the cash register. Salespeople at traditional departmental stores assist customers with all items irrespective of the price range. Today, in the day and age of departmental stores, where we usually have a lot of self-service format, the retail salespeople do not have too much of a role, okay? Because the customer walks into the store, looks around, the product is displayed in a manner that the customer can understand what is the product base, what are the prices, and he can make his choices. Here, the retail salesperson does not have much role, except he may assist customers in locating certain items that they cannot locate, or help them in packing the product, maybe if it's a heavy product, carrying it across the store and at the cash register where the transaction is actually taking place. In a traditional departmental store or a full service retail store, the salespeople have a huge role to play. In the next section, we will talk about the history and development of the selling function. In early civilizations, people bartered goods, which means they exchanged one product for another. For example, one farmer grew wheat. So, he exchanged wheat with another farmer who grew rice. That was how the selling took place. It was exchange of products. There was no currency, there was no money. In the Industrial Revolution of the late 19th century, huge amount of exchange of goods between people started. Resources at that time were controlled, they were limited, they were scarce. Therefore, the sales success was defined by meeting sales quotas. The pressure on the salespeople was huge. They had to meet the sales quota or target for a specified time period. The evolution of selling has several distinct phases of development during the course of the late 19th and 20th centuries. We can broadly divide these five historical periods from 1860s to the 1960s, which is almost one century. Till 1960, the main techniques of salespeople was persuasion. They had to persuade the customer to buy. Short-term seller needs was a priority for the salespeople. The main goal was to close the deal and to meet the sales quota. So the focus of the salesperson during the 19th and 20th centuries was in meeting their sales quota. They were not focusing on the customer or what the customer wants or satisfying the customer's needs. Therefore, it was essentially the selling function and not marketing. Let us understand the various phases of development of the selling function. The first was the production-oriented period, which started from 1760s till about 1920s. This was obviously a very long period, but after that, changes started happening very fast. The next phases were much shorter. The Great Depression, which started in 1920 and lasted till the mid-1930s. Post the Depression period, which started in mid-30s and lasted till about the early 1950s. After which was the consumer-oriented period. So essentially at this stage, the focus on the customer started. This started in early 1950s and went on till 1990. The relationship period started only from 1990 onwards. Let us discuss each of these phases in detail. The production-oriented period, which started in 1760s. The production-oriented period started in 1760s to 1920s. The onset of the Industrial Revolution in the 1760s led to intensive production with the advent of power tools and mechanized assembly lines. So during the Industrial Revolution, a lot of machinery was used, good quality machinery, which increased the production quantities, and therefore there was a lot of product available in the market to be sold. There was strong consumer demand also. Thus, it was a seller's market, believing that a good product or service would be able to sell itself. The seller was the king. Salespeople were just clerks meant to answer questions and process the sales transactions. So the salespeople role was limited to ensuring that they would answer the product related questions, they would process the sales transactions. There was no persuasion, there was no customer relation, there was no customer focus. The focus and emphasis was only on meeting the salesperson's sales targets. In the Great Depression period, most manufacturers had reached peak productivity. There was an overproduction of goods and salespeople had to sell them. The supply was huge. This desperation to sell that excess supply, whereas the demand was less, led to the practice of dishonest and unethical selling methods. In 1920, the stock market crashed, leading to the closure of many businesses due to bankruptcy. This led to unemployment, competition, and inflation. So the crashing of the stock market had a snowball effect. Already, the supply was more. The salespeople had a tough time in selling these goods, which were available in more quantity. To add to that problem, due to the crash of the stock market, there was an increase in unemployment, competition, and inflation. Therefore, the salespeople had no option but to use high pressure tactics to sell, and they were using unethical means. They were pressurizing the customers to buy. In the post-depression period, it started in mid-1930s to early 1950s, the business world returned to its production-oriented strategy. Again, the focus was on increasing production volumes. Demand exceeded supply. Thus, manufacturers did not expand their sales forces or invest in sales team. In 1945, after World War II ended, production of consumer goods increased and transport facilities improved. The role of salespeople still entailed only taking orders instead of generating new businesses.